Blog Talk Radio.
I stroll through the picture, what I've left behind. You want again. I'm locked up in memories, they all intertwine. The memories in my mind. I know tomorrow, 'cause that dawn will come. You will never know what you've done.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Wednesday night special guest Stop Child Abuse Now radio show, brought to you by NASCA, the National Association of Adult Survivors of Child Abuse. My name is Charlie Stecker. I am going to be your host this evening for what I'm certain is going to be a dynamic show full of information and most likely emotions, and that's okay. Remember, we are family here at NASCA, so our special guest this evening is going to find out that there's a bunch of brothers and sisters out here that are ready to support her and prop her up and guide her and just allow her to just feel comfortable in whatever it is she is willing and ready to share with us. I do ask our panel members, and just before I go into that, let me just remind you, if you'd like to call in and be on the panel, we would absolutely appreciate you being here. The panelist call-in number is 646-595-2118. I will periodically throughout the show bring in and reintroduce that number so that we can encourage others to call. I did have a few seconds to speak to our special guest tonight prior to the show starting, and I said to her, and I say this a lot, an hour and a half when you're waiting for the show seems like, man, it's forever. But when we get rolling, it's going to fly by, and so I'm looking forward to her. I want to say thank you to our panelists who have already called in. If your mic goes silent while you are listening, it is not that you've been disconnected. It is that someone, more than likely me this evening, will be reaching out in an attempt to get your name and what state you're from so we can put it in the queue so that when we bring you on to speak and interact with our special guest this evening, we will know who you are and where you're from. I also want to go back and just for some other housekeeping purposes, I want to remind folks that when you do get on air tonight with our special guest during the moments we will bring you on, probably 2 to 3 times throughout the show, I would like to keep your interactions and your questions and your insights aligned with our special guest, because tonight is their night. Matter of fact, our special guest, tonight's her very first time sharing her story. So like all of us when we first got rolling with this, nerves are going to be on edge. Things are going to be happening. So, you know, please just try to keep your questions and your insights. They may be your own. They may be in line with your story and parallel. That's wonderful. But let's not go off the topic of whatever it is that our special guest is sharing with us. Some of you who call in regularly are used to me introducing the panel prior to bringing in a special guest. I am changing that now. I am actually going to bring our special guest in. I also in the past would have normally introduced our special guest bio, but I also am changing how I'm doing that because, you know, life, we grow, we learn, we make things do better. And I just want to get our special guest on sooner rather than later. And I'm actually going to utilize our special guest biography to help her walk through sharing her story as she sees fit and comfortable. Before that, I do want to quickly share NASCA's mission statement, and that is, we have a single purpose at NASCA. It is to address the issues related to childhood abuse and trauma, including sexual assault, violent or physical abuse, emotional traumas, and neglect, and we do so with only two goals. The first being educating the public, especially as related to society, to get over its taboo of discussing childhood sexual abuse. Presenting facts showing child abuse to be a pandemic, worldwide problem that affects everyone. And our second goal is offering hope and healing through numerous paths, providing many services to adult survivors of child abuse and information for anyone interested in the many issues involving prevention, intervention, and recovery. And I am going to tell you our special guest tonight's name is Wandra. And Wandra, if I am mispronouncing your name, I sure do hope you'll correct me when we get you on air. But Wandra Denise Brown, she hails from New York City. And at that point, I'm just going to get Wandra on here, and then I'm going to make my best effort. We have really got a lively panel, Wandra. You must have quite a following, but let's get you on here. I'm excited to have you. Thank you to my co-host tonight, and we'll get things rolling. Hello, Wandra, and welcome.
Hello, how are you?
I am well, and I'm very excited to have you here. I will tell you, we have a very lively panel, and what I mean by that is quite a few people called in. I'm going to guess that you told some folks you're going to be out here tonight, huh?
Absolutely, absolutely.
Well, wonderful, because I know some of the area codes. I recognize the area codes as being New York. So I'm certain I know some area codes that we don't have in our system. So I do want to tell our listeners that are called in, you are not being ignored. You will be coming on the show. I will cue up your mic when we get to that point, and then we will have you interact with Wandra. And then after you're done with your interaction, I will silence your mic and go to the next special guest. So, Wandra, you're from New York City. You're a survivor of severe violent physical and sexual abuse. And you were broken. You were in the foster care system your whole childhood. Hey, sis, guess what? You and I are foster care alumni, because I was in foster care for 10 years.
Oh, okay.
Like I said, I want you to feel comfortable tonight, Wandra. I don't want you to feel obligated to answer any questions you're not comfortable answering, to share anything you're not comfortable sharing. This is your night to share what you want. And I say this a lot. I do look forward to the day that when we go to find a special guest, we can't find one because we've been able to stop this tragedy that happened. And you're surrounded by people that are, you are a member of our family now, Wandra. And you are surrounded by people, including myself, that have experienced similar adverse childhoods. So you're not alone, and we're here to support you. So
thank you.
I guess, you're very welcome. And I did shoot you a friend request on Facebook and sent you a private message so you knew who I was. What part of New York City are you in? I guess we could start there. Or did you grow up in?
New York. I'm from Manhattan.
Okay.
Go ahead.
No, please, you.
Sorry, I didn't hear you.
That's okay. And by the way, there is a delay with Blog Talk, so sometimes it sounds like we might be over talking to each other, and that's not happening. So you're from New York City, also known as Manhattan, and I like to get that information out because there's people from other areas of the country and, believe it or not, around the world that actually listen to this show, even afterwards. So it kind of gives them a more geographic feel for where you are. And I see here you were in and out of 23 foster homes. Wow.
Yes.
Do you know about what age you were put into care?
The date? No.
Do you know about what date?
I'm sorry.
That's okay. Are you having a hard time hearing me?
Just a little bit.
Okay, I will try to stay a little closer to my mic. So I asked your foster care, did it start at birth, or was it something you were a little older, or did you go right into there?
It actually started at, like 6 months after I was, no, it started at 3 months after I was born.
Okay, so... So you're not going to have recollection of prior to foster care, because I can't remember back to yesterday most of the time, let alone when I was 3 months old.
Right.
So, Wandra and our listeners, you will hear laughter once in a while. It's not that we're laughing about the subject matter. It's sometimes we have to be able to laugh at ourselves. Would you agree, Wandra?
Absolutely.
There you go. Well, I have a brief bio on here. Some of the things I don't feel it's appropriate for me to share. I think it's more appropriate if you. Absolutely. Share whatever you want. It's your story.
All right. Okay, first, I'm a little nervous, so just bear with me. Today, first, I would like to tell everyone that during each trial and each tribulation that I have been through, my experience that I have experienced, I'm a determined woman, the most determinedest woman in the universe. And that most of all, I'm trying to reach for the stars, knowing that there lies destiny ahead of me. I have experienced vicious cycles of child abuse over and over again, and I have been placed in 23 different foster homes. I was severely, physically, emotionally, and mentally, sexually abused. The abuse came not only from my biological mom, but it also came from lots of foster homes as well. I have been buried in the dirt, in the ground, left for dead. I have been forced to play Russian roulette with a gun in my mouth by one of my foster parents, he would have sex with me and force me to freebase and do crack and cocaine at the age of 10. Furthermore, I watched my two-year-old brother, who was my foster brother, I watched him get molested by my foster dad as well. He would bury his head inside the pillow and put black grease on his private part and enter inside my two-year-old brother. However, at that time, I could not help him because I was being tied up on the couch at the time, so I was unable to save him. The physical abuse has caused me to withdraw. Sometimes I was mute for 2 years, and because of that, I would not talk. So I locked myself down, and I wound up being locked up inside of an institution. How I got locked up inside an institution is because, oh God, here we go.
You're doing wonderful. You're doing wonderful. Take your time, and we're here for you. If you need to stop, you need to press whatever you need, okay?
Okay. Now, the first foster parents I had from birth to 2 years of age, they found me inside of a crib with burnt cigarette marks all over me and diaper sore. My pampers was all wet and everything. So they took me out of that home, and they placed me into another person's home. I don't want to say their name, but anyhow, I was a black sheep of the family inside the second foster home. And I had my foster sister, who she was light-skinned, and my foster mother, spoiled her and had her to think that she was Caucasian. And she would make my sister wash me down to Ajax to try to get me to turn white. So... my sister used to always beat me up, and I was like really skinny at that time, so I couldn't really fight. I was never able to fight. They used to always beat me up, and it was like really ridiculous. Now, so during that time that I was with them, I was treated like really the black sheep. Like every other night, I would stand up to the wall until the next day, going to school, standing up to the wall, and I was so tired trying to get to school. Because I was standing up all night to the wall because for some stupid reason, they used to sit me in the table by myself while everybody else would sit there and eat food in a big dining room table. I was really like a black sheep of the family. Okay, so now after that, at one particular time, my foster mother had beat me so bad, accusing me of stealing her money. And then after she found out that I had not took her money because my foster father told her he found it, she had actually beat me with her extension cord upside down and dropped me on my head and didn't even say sorry or anything. So that day, that week, I kept on praying to God. I'm sorry, but I kept on praying to God that she would die. And you know what? The next 2 weeks, she actually died. And when she died, I was like, I was at the funeral, and everybody was crying, but I was only take. I took all the snot, blew it in a tissue, and threw it in a casket. And everybody's looking at me like, she's crazy. You know, she's crazy. But then after that, they moved me to a different foster home. Now, wait, I got to take my time for a minute. Sorry.
Hey, no, you have no reason to apologize to us, Roger. You take your time in what you want to share. And if you need a break every now and then, we have quite a lively panel. I can bring them in one at a time, and you can converse with them if that will help you. You tell me what you need. It's your night.
Okay. Now I'm going to continue. I have to get this off my chest. After she passed away, I stayed with my grandmother, with her mother. She was a German lady. She was a beautiful lady. She always defended me, protected me, and she was always there for me. She used to always get on the kids' case and tell them, why y'all picking on her? And she used to, this was a wonderful woman. She's like 90-something years of age, doing double jobs with me, right up in Manhattan on St. Nicholas Avenue. And then one day she had just disappeared from out the house. And I was like inside the house, like, what happened to her? It was a big snowstorm at this time. And during the snowstorm, it was only just me there and my Uncle Percy and my foster grandmother, who already left out. I don't know where she went. At that time, I didn't know where she went. But during that time, I was, there was a Mexican people that came in, and they were supposed to be painting the apartment. But my uncle was so drunk that he was passed out in his room and knocked out. He didn't even know what was going on, and these Mexican guys wound up raping me, wanted to get a dog to rape me, and it was, like, really, really horrible. I was, like, burning for days. I was, like, and they told me if I were to tell what happened, that they would kill, they know where I live, they would kill my grandmother, and they would kill everybody inside the house. So I never told anybody about that certain situation. But anyhow, they finally found my foster grandmother, and she had fell in the street and busted her whole face, and she was in Knickerbocker Hospital. That was years ago. And she was inside Knickerbocker Hospital, and I had to go to the daughter's house. Now, excuse me, I'm just taking my time just for a minute. I'm sorry. I had to get married to the daughter's house. I had to go to the daughter's house, who was married to this crazy off the wall guy, and this is actually one of the worst times I have ever experienced. Well, not really the worst, but her husband was like really psychotic. My experience here with this was probably the most traumatizing time of my life. I remember the first time when her husband had walked into the room the night. First of all, he used to beat up on his girlfriend, his wife, and he put her inside the hospital. And my biological sister, the one I was telling you about earlier, she was always an asthmatic, so she was always wound up inside the hospital. And there was a third sister, and she had ran away at the time, so it was only me and my brother at that time. So during that time, in the morning, he used to come inside there like 12 o'clock inside the morning, come inside there, tell me, you know, for me to be quiet and take me downstairs in the basement. There's a big room downstairs, and he had porn on, but I didn't even understand what porn was. And I never saw this before. And the lady was, I thought the lady was eating a hot dog. And then I thought at first, is that a hot dog? But then he started taking off his clothes and started taking off my clothes. And then he started rubbing me and telling me to do what the lady was doing inside the porn, to have oral sex with him. So at this time, he told me, oh, yeah, suck it like a lollipop, whatever. So I was sucking. Jeez. Sorry, I'm being real right now. I was sucking it. I accidentally had bit him, and he had slapped the living daylights out of me. He slapped me so hard that I had went unconscious. When I was knocked out unconscious, he had tied me up to the couch and had me bent over from the back and feeding me, free base, lighting a pipe so I was smoking it, and then he was molesting me and my brother at the same
time.
Oh,
my goodness.
So now my foster mother finally came home from the hospital, and she had asked what had happened. So, I mean, what had happened to our son? Because our son, he had two black eyes and red. He punched him in the eyes. So I told her what had happened, and she didn't believe none of that said. She took a frying pan, hit me in the head, and, oh, my God. She didn't
wow.
believe anything that said, and she wound up taking a frying pan and knocking me out. And he wound up beating her up during the rest of the week, during the week again, and wound up putting her inside the hospital. So now it was just me and him and her, me and my foster brother and him again. So at this time, he had got mad at me. He had punched me in my face. And took me and kept slamming me into the ceiling. I mean, could you imagine being a doll, a rag doll, and just tossing me into the ceiling? All you could hear is my crack, the crack of my head just cracking.
Uh-oh.
And I was completely knocked out unconscious. And when I was knocked out unconscious, he went and literally took me in the basement downstairs in the backyard and buried me in the dirt. And with my mouth tied with some ball inside my mouth, and had me inside that dirt all damn night. All I could see,
wow.
I could see through up at the top. At the top, I could see stars, but that's all I could see, but I couldn't scream or anything. So then, but I don't know how or why, but the next following day, he wound up taking me out of the dirt and took me upstairs, gave me a shower, gave me a bath, and then he said, okay. I'm going to teach you how to shut up and never to tell anybody what's going on. So he turned on the stove on the fire. And when he turned on the stove and fire, he stabbed me on the stove and the fire. And I just screamed. That was the most I screamed, and that was my last scream. I couldn't even talk no more because I was in so much shock that I completely turned mute. So
right.
Now that I'm mute, I couldn't scream, and I couldn't talk anything. He was molesting me, like, all through the whole summer. So it was finally time to go to school. When I did get to school, in the fall time, when I got there to school, I had a best friend, and I had her pictures on my desk, and I went out to lunch. And when I came back, somebody in the class who I thought was had stabbed holes on my best friend's pictures. So I got hysterical. Like, I couldn't scream or nothing. So I just went up to the boy, and I'm not going to lie, I went up to him, and I stabbed him with the pencil because I thought that he was the one that put holes inside my best friend's picture. So the school took me to the guidance counselor's office, but I couldn't say anything because, remember, I'm mute, so nobody don't know what's going on, like what's going on with me. So now I had also had a cap gun. You remember those old cap guns with the red cap?
Wandra, are you asking me to age myself? Because, yeah, I remember them.
Oh, so now I pulled out the cap gun at my guidance counselor. She flew on the floor under the desk screaming for help. So they wound up calling the principal, calling the police, and wound up taking me to an institution.
Wow.
So now, meanwhile, none of the reason why I did that, because when I saw the picture with all those holes in it, I went into hallucination thinking that beetles and worms was crawling out of the paper. But nobody didn't know what I was going through. Nobody had no idea what was going on. You know what I'm saying? So
yes.
They wound up taking me into an institution, and I stayed there for a while. And while I was there, I was being molested by not only the patient, because I was only 11 years old at that time, so they sent me on an adult ward. So that means it was unisex. So that means they had different men in there, and they had women in there, and I wasn't supposed to be there because I was only 11 at that time. So during that time, I was being molested. I was being molested by the patients inside there, and it's like really, really crazy. And not only that, I wound up being molested by the orderly. When I got molested by the orderly, I wound up becoming pregnant, actually. And I lost the baby inside the seclusion room. But I couldn't scream or nothing, all the pain and everything that I was going through. So they let me out. When they did let me out the room, I couldn't talk. So when I saw the guy, the one that had molested me, but this I had the baby after this. But before then, when I saw the guy, and he was playing cards inside the day room, I took a chair and smashed his whole eyes out. So they
wow.
kind of gave me electric shock treatment. yeah.
Oh, no.
They wanted to give me electric shock treatment and kept constantly giving me electric shock treatment and drugging me up with Thorazine and, you know, just drugging me up. So I totally just went into a different stage. I'm getting a little nervous now, so please excuse me. Now, there's no way for me to scream. And,
I want to tell you, you're doing amazing. You're doing amazing, and your just strength is powerful. So you're doing fine. You take your time and share what you want as you go along. Okay, no hurry.
All right, thank you. Now
you're very welcome.
Where was that? Now I don't know why we had to go through all these painful things, but I had to go through these painful things in order to be the person who I am today. So during that time, I was just like hidden away, and I just was unable to talk to anyone because I was unable to speak. So after they started giving me electric shock treatment, there was this guy there that was coming to visit his son with his family, and he was asking questions about me to the staff, and they said that I've been here for a while, and you know, he and his wife wanted to take me for. As a foster child. So I don't know how they did it, but they let me go to this family. He was a cop. He was a police officer. This is the most craziest police officer I have ever met. This police officer would beat up his wife. Literally, he beat her up so bad that she left. She left the house. He wound up having me tied up to the bed, putting a gun in my mouth, and playing Russian roulette with me as he was... constantly having molesting me. So,
wow.
So now I'm trying to remember how did I get. Oh, I remember how I left that family. Because I was tied up that day. I was tied up, and his wife came back with his sister to come get her things. And that was the same time when he was clicking the gun. And when she came back, the sister came in and he left the gun there on the side and on the table right there in front of us. And the sister came and told her, "Let me go." They let me go. They told me the mother said, "You know, we could take you back to the agency, but you involve me because she could get in problems too because she's supposed to be the foster mother." So they sent me back to her. They sent me back to the agency, and when they sent me back to the agency, I wound up going in and out of different foster homes. Like 23 different foster homes. It was like not long enough of time. The fifth foster home that I went into, I couldn't talk. So after I left him, so I wound up, this girl wanted to play with me, but instead I wanted to fight her. So I beat her up with a pair of roller skates. And I'm like, in my mind, because I didn't want nobody near me. I didn't want anybody close by me. I was, like, really going insane. So, I felt like I was going insane. So, eventually, they wound up moving me from place to place, different places, and I wound up going to their house. Whose house did I go to? Hold on, I'm trying to remember. Oh, I went to Jersey. They moved me to Jersey. That's when I had beat up the girl with the roller skates. And then there was another lady that was in there. When they put me back inside the institution, another lady wanted to take me. And she used to take me to some place that was very spooky to me, where it was a cave that they had took me to, where they had like a Jesus with blood coming out of his eyes. And I was like really scared. Like, this was like really scary. Like, and I didn't want to stay there with this lady, so I left. So then I went to the eighth foster home I went to. They was Indian. And they was trying to teach me their language, and it was, like, really hard for me to really learn. And I had to sit down inside this family and pray to some Buddha doll that I didn't want to pray to. So I wound up leaving that household as well. I went back to the place, and then they sent me back to Mount Sinai, back to the hospital. So now the ninth foster home I was in, her name was Leslie. She was, like, really a nice person, but she had to move out of the state. And she was not allowed to take me out of the state. She was a Caucasian woman beautiful woman, and she, like, really took interest in me. And then it was after that, they took me back, and I went to another person's house named Miss Murphy. And Miss Murphy, she communicated with me, trying to get me to communicate, but you remember, at this time, I was still unable to talk. So we just, you know, she went through counseling and everything. So, and then I went to the Jesus family, then they taught me how to speak Spanish, and the Cruz family, but there, they had a little brother, he wasn't a little brother, he was like maybe 19, and he was trying to introduce me to drugs. So he had me smoking marijuana, he was drinking and everything, and then he molested me. So I'm like, I had to leave from there. So then they wound up taking me back. They wound up taking me back, and I went to Metropolitan Hospital, and then they sent me from Metropolitan Hospital to Bronx Children's Hospital. At this time, when I was inside Bronx Children's Hospital, they wound up taking me. Now, this is like, I've already been through like 18, 14 homes already since then. Now, they wound up taking me to this hospital, Bronx Children's Hospital, so they wound up giving me speech therapy. And I finally got speech therapy, and my therapist, she asked me, you know, what had happened, you know, so I explained to everything that I had possibly went through. She started crying and holding me and hugging me and asking me, do I know anybody that would take me in, that anybody that I know? So I said, yeah, my best friend. And so they gave me the telephone number, and I gave them the telephone number. Thank goodness I remember the telephone number. And they called them, and the mother wound up taking me, but she couldn't keep me. Her mother wound up taking me. She couldn't keep me because she had already had enough children already. So she let me go to her mother's house. But during there, when I was there, her mother, she used to drink a lot and always accused me of stealing stuff. So one night she hit me in the head with a bleach pole, locked me out, and I was, when I came to, I was bleeding and everything. She was an alcoholic. You know what I'm saying? Even though I cared about her a lot, but during that time, I left that. I left there because I was like, I'm not going to stay inside this place. This is crazy. So now the 21st foster home, the family was in Queens. Their name was Ms. Bessalou. And she was the most wonderful parent ever. She taught me how to cook. She taught me how to clean. She taught me everything that I needed to know about life. But then she had wound up passing away. But that was like one of the best foster parents I have ever had. So they wound up sending me into a group home. And when they sent me into a group home, I was working at that time with an Italian man, and he used to molest me as well inside the basement. It was crazy. Goodness. Like, it was, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm like, it was really crazy. So as I got older, I started, I'm skipping. I'm trying to go in chronological order.
How about you take a rest and relax, and you're doing wonderful. You're doing great, okay?
Thank you.
You're welcome. I know it's a lot of information to get out, but just allow yourself to just, it'll flow, and if you make a mistake, that's okay. Welcome to being human. We all make mistakes.
Right.
It's all right. Go ahead. Go ahead, Wanda.
So then after that, I was inside a group home, and I had met my I was working as a supervisor. My supervisor wound up falling in love with me and bringing me flowers and roses. And actually, he wound up, I didn't trust no man at all, but he convinced me that he asked me later on in life that I want to have his child. And I said, yes, I did. And I wound up having his child. So we had a good relationship until I found out that he was with my sister. And I, like, went homeless because I was so in shock that she, my own sister would be with my daughter's father. So I wound up moving into the streets and living in the streets. I stayed in the streets for like 2 years. And when I was inside the street, I stayed with this lady. She was like a really nice lady, but we stayed inside the train station inside Canal Street. And this lady, she was like really rich. She used to have mad bag full of money. And she told me that I had to go and get myself together because I had my child with me living in the street. So she said, you have to go into a shelter and get yourself together so you can get an apartment. So it was like so sad because I didn't trust anybody. I used to go and steal food, and I see people eating in the restaurants, and I see them leave food on a plate. I used to run inside there and take the food from off the plate and feed me and my child. I stayed in the streets for like a while, and then I wind up getting an apartment. And then when I wind up getting an apartment, that I wind up working with this guy, and the guy, oh my God, and this guy, he supervisor, and he didn't want to pay me for like a couple of weeks. So since he didn't want to pay me, me and him got into an argument in front of my two children, and he slit my throat. He gave me 22 stitches. Shot me right in front of my kids. Oh my God. So during this time, so I wound up dying. I was literally dead. They took me to the hospital, and the doctor said that I had died for I don't remember how many minutes, but I came to at 11:55 p.m., the same time that I was born. So that was nobody's birth time. So when I came to, I was like, oh, what happened? Then when I seen I never seen no flush, bones. So I started screaming hysterically and passed back out. And when I passed back out, when I came to again, my boss was sitting over me and told me he had my kids, and if I tell the police what happened, he's going to kill my children.
Oh,
my God. Now, mind you, I'm inside the hospital. I just came to, and the experience of death, I would like to go through that, but I don't know if I'm going to be taking up too much time. But anyhow, when I came to, when he told me he had my kids, what was you going to say?
I do want to have a little time so we can get the panel, everyone that is taking the time to call in tonight to get online with you. But, yeah, please, it's your show and your story, so share it the way you're comfortable.
Okay, so now when I had died, I had fell into this long black tunnel. When I got to the other end of the tunnel, my teeth was floating and just floating into the air, and I was trying to, how you have a toothache so bad and you just want to go into the light? The light was a full moon, and when I went into the full, I was trying to go into the full moon, but my daughter had already died ahead. She had told me, "Mommy, don't go into the light. Go back into the tunnel for my sister." So she forced me to come back here. So when I came back, that's when I came alive, and the doctor said that we had lost you for a couple of minutes there. So remember, I had knocked out when I passed out again, when I seen all that blood and everything, and when my boss told me that he had my kids, I left out the hospital. They was like, "Mitch, you can't leave. You lost so much blood." And I had 22 stitches over my neck. So I had to go get my kids. But I didn't have no family out here. You understand what I'm saying? So I had to go get my kids. I brought them home, and I sent my daughter to school that morning, and she told me that the man tried to come up there and run them over in a van. So you know what? I had to place my kids into a foster home, the place I never wanted to place my kids, ever.
Sure.
So during that time, I was so traumatized because of where it happened. I had to place them in there for protective custody. And then I had them arrested. But after I had them arrested, he sent some guys to push me into my door, put a shotgun in my mouth, and tell me if I didn't drop the charges, that he would kill me. So I had no choice. I had to wind up dropping the charges, and that's when I started going into drugs. Because now I placed my kids into a foster home, and I was saying to myself, "Yeah, I don't have no family, and I had no." And I was talking to myself like I was like really going crazy. So I wanted to go on the drugs. Then I said, I got to get myself together. I have to get myself together because I got to get back to my kids. I have to get myself together. I was walking out, talking to myself, going crazy. So eventually I had wind up getting my kids back. They didn't know. The agency now know I was on drugs, but I wasn't on drugs then. I was drinking, smoking, and I wind up moving. They moved me to another place, and I wind up hanging out with gang members. And then I started becoming their gang leader. I'm like, I felt so much in charge because I became their leader. But the thing is that I never robbed people. I had them to rob people that was selling drugs that they should not be selling drugs.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So now it's like a problem because I was like in the streets. So the way that I had raised my kids, because I always had them around gang members, gang meetings, and all. I was, like, really out there in the street, drunk. I used to always be drinking. So I was saying, I have to get myself together because for my kids' sake, I must get myself together because I know they're crazy. They've been through so much.
Sure,
they really literally went through so much. During sometime the point I had went into the Army for basic training. This was before then. I forgot all about that part, and I wound up getting thrown out for dishonorable discharge. For dishonorable discharge because the guy called me a nigger.
I hear you. That's horrible. I wonder.
So, but my whole point, what I'm trying to say is that, wait, I got to calm down just one minute.
How about you take a breath, because you shared a lot of information. You've been on, believe it or not, you've been on almost half an hour already. That's powerful. Let's take a minute, let you collect yourself. And how about we introduce some of the panelists that we have called in? Is that okay?
Sure.
Okay, yeah, because it looks like we have quite a following from New York calling in. But we are going to start off with, and those of you who you haven't had someone contact you as you've been listening, you will hear me introduce you by your area code. And I guess a couple of you have the same area code, so I'll give your area code and the first three numbers of your phone number. I will not put your number out on air because I will not allow anyone else to get your number. But for the area codes that I have duplicates of, I will have to do the second three numbers as well. But first we have Cynthia Wander. She's from Georgia, and she's calling in to support you this evening. Cynthia, you are on with Wander.
That's one of my foster moms. Hello.
Okay.
Hello?
Hi, Cynthia. Wanda.
Yes, my name is Cynthia. Hi, Wanda. How you doing? Good.
I'm fine.
Good. Very good. I met Wanda through my daughter. They were very good friends. And I'm the one that she called from the hospital. And I used to go get her on the weekends and bring her home with me and to be with me and my family. And she would be there for the weekend. And they would send her home on medicine, like Thorazine, like that. I'm a nurse. So when they sent her home with those medicines like that, I really didn't give them to her because I didn't feel like she really needed them.
Right.
But... So I would take her back, and then the next weekend I'd go get her again. So one week, and I went to get her, and she asked me, could she stay with me? So I told them, you know, I was living in the projects at the time, and I told her that and I only had two bedrooms, and I had, let's see, how many children? I had three children at the time.
Mm-hmm.
So she said, well, my mother could, she keep you because I can't. So my mother did keep her for a while. And so, as she said in her story, some of the things that she said in her story I didn't know about.
Mm-hmm.
But I've been keeping up with her, and my daughter has been keeping up with her also. You know, they're still very good friends. And I've seen her come a long ways. And
wonderful.
I think with the things that she has gone through, she has really, really been a trooper, you know, into being who she is today. And she is a good person.
Absolutely.
And she's religious, and she takes care of her grandchildren beautifully. She just loves them,
wonderful.
And they love her.
Absolutely. I can also tell she has quite a support system. Just based off of the size of the panel tonight, normally I know most of our panelists. I'm excited that I don't know most of our panelists tonight. So it's telling me that Wanda has it appears to be a very strong support system around her today. Cynthia, I want to say, I don't know if you heard, I'm a foster care alumni myself, and thank you so much for what you were able to provide for Wanda in her childhood years and what you're still there providing for her today.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right, Cynthia, so I'm going to mute you. I'm going to mute your mic.
If I had to, it had be.
Absolutely. I'm going to mute your mic, Cynthia. You'll still be able to hear the show. I'm going to go ahead and bring our next panelist in, okay? All right. So this is one of the first panelists I have here that I do not have a name for, but your area code is 646. So I'm going to give all our panelists an opportunity to recall what their area codes are. And area code 646, I'm getting ready to bring you on air. Hello, area code 646. You're live on air with Wandra and Charlie.
Yes, hi. How are you? Hi, Wanda.
Hi.
Hi. Wanda,
what is your name? Where are you
from? Oh, sorry. Yeah, my name is Selenia Beltre.
My best friend. Oh.
How do you may I ask how you spell your first name, please?
Oh, sure. It's spelled as Celenia.
Beautiful. Okay. And then you're from New York, I'm guessing?
Yes, I'm from New York, and I live on the same building as Wanda, so we are very, very close friends.
Well, I just think it's wonderful that
yes.
You've called in and you're here supporting Wanda. So I'm going to be quiet and let you two have a conversation. We do have, let me, just to give Wanda some guidance here, we have 1, 2, 3, 4, we have about 5 more panelists. Wandra, you have got quite the following. But Selenia, go ahead, take a few moments with Wandra and share what the two of you will.
Okay. Okay, well, I just want to say that she's a very, very good person, and I love her so much. I'm very proud of her. She has been through a lot, and you know, God has been always her helper in all the difficult situations that she's been. So she deserves the absolute best in life, and she's a very amazing and unique and beautiful individual. That's what I want to say to her.
Thank you.
Yes, you're welcome.
Welcome.
No, no.
That's absolutely beautiful. And
yeah.
So, that's your name correctly is Selenia?
Yes, Selenia.
Like Selena, the star.
Okay, yes. Selenia. Well, I am going to mute your mic because I want to get it. We have several more people waiting to get on the air with Wandra. I will make an attempt before the end of the show to bring everybody back on so that they have an opportunity to give Wandra a fond farewell. I am going to area code 516 next. I know that's a New York area code as well. Area code 516. I'll give everybody a chance to remember their area codes and cue your mic up. Okay, 516, I'm bringing you on now. Area code 516, you're on with Wandra. Hello, area code 516, who do we have?
Hello?
Well, there you are. What might be your first name?
Is this the 516-343 number?
Yes.
Okay. I don't want to give my name, but
okay.
I can say that I myself was in the foster care homes with her in her early childhood. And then a couple of times later on in life, I was able to visit her when they had institutionalized her and had her on Thorazine. Although we both came up in the foster care system, we are both survivors, but we really never know one another's story until we actually come out and hear them. I thought my story was bad, but I commend her on her achievements and everything that she has accomplished and still being able to hold on, because if it had been anybody else, they could have lost their mind. And just like at one point when she was buried in the dirt, somebody else may have stayed there. So I encourage her and I commend her to continue to move forward. Just listening to everything and putting all the pieces together and then hearing her story, and I was like, okay, well, this is what was going on and that was going on and I didn't know that. It seems like it all could come together in a movie or a book. So don't give us the whole thing. Wait and let us see. Maybe Tyler Perry or somebody else will pick you up. And then you'll go be able to go through and come out. But I'm praying that your latter days will be greater and better than what you have been through. And I'm truly, I truly believe that God is going to bless you if you just continue to hold on and be encouraged and stay around positive people and continue to hold on and don't let nothing pull you back. Because of everything that you have made, that you have went through, it has made you stronger and you're going to be better.
Thank you.
Wow.
I love you.
And
I love you more.
Beautiful. And thank you so much for calling in tonight and being part of this panel. And I did catch what you shared, that you too your childhood past, that you are a survivor, transcender warrior over. And I want to extend a warm welcome for you to come in and at least look around at our NASCA family, which brings me an opportunity to share about our website. It's n2aasca.org. I encourage folks, if you want to find someone to talk to, there's numbers on there, my number's on there, many numbers around the country, and actually some international numbers. If you need somebody to talk to or talk with or just vent that, we're there to support you. But I know you don't want to share your name. I respect that. Our caller from New York that I'm currently speaking with besides our guest. And I want to extend a warm welcome to you that if at some point you should choose to decide to want to share whatever it is on your heart about your story, we are here for you. And even if you don't want to share, we're still here for you, okay?
I thank you. And what I'm looking forward to doing in the future, and maybe she can accompany as well, for an audience of those who are currently in the foster care system and or those who are survivors as well, to just come out and to be an encouragement to others that are going through.
Absolutely. And we definitely have to all get in touch because I do some of that work already as a foster care alumni myself. So I want to thank you for calling in. I do have several other panelists. I want to make sure we get them in here, and I'm hoping we'll have enough time at the end to bring everybody back one more time. But truly, thank you for calling in. Your microphone's going to go silent, but you'll still be able to hear the show, and I'll try to get you back on before the end, okay?
Thank you so much, Laura.
You're welcome. Okay, so now this is one of the first area codes that I have a duplicate. So as I said earlier, I'm going to give the area code and only the first three numbers, okay? I will not put your phone number out on air. It is not a proper thing to do, and obviously for reasons I won't do that. So it's area code 347. I have two callers from area code 347. The one I'm bringing on right now, the next three numbers are 248. Hey, Wandra, does it feel like we're, like, pulling out winning tickets or something?
yes, absolutely.
You know what? And again, folks, I'm not laughing because we have a subject to laugh at, but we have to be able to chuckle at things. So I'm stalling some additional time. Area code 347, first three numbers, 248. You are now live on air with Wandra. And what might your first name be and where are you located? Hello, area code 347, first number is 248. Are you on?
Hello?
All right. Well,
hello.
There you are. Hello. What's your first name, if you don't mind? If you don't want to give it, you don't have to.
My name is Makia. I'm Yvonne's granddaughter. I mean, niece.
You're whose niece? How are you related to Okay. I'm just trying to put your name in our queue so when I come back I know your name. But I know the last person wanted to remain anonymous, so I'll leave you anonymous as well.
My name is Makia.
Okay, Makia, and how do you spell that?
M as in Mary, I K I Y A.
There you go. Okay, Makia, thank you so much. And I just want to do that because I want to properly address you when we bring you back on again. And I'm going to guess that you're in New York as well?
I'm sorry?
I'm going to take a wild guess and say you're in New York as well?
Yes.
Awesome. New York's showing strong in the house tonight for Wandra. Well, Ms. Kia, you and Wandra have a conversation about whatever it is on your heart. We truly appreciate you calling in this evening.
Yeah, I just wanted to say that, Wandra, your story is very inspirational. A lot of people don't get through the things easy. Well, and I know it was very, very hard for you, but you're a very strong woman, and I think that you have a lot in you that you don't know, and I just think you're beautiful. I really think you're beautiful. Your story touched me a lot.
Thank you. Thank you.
It touched me a lot. And, you know, I look up to people like you because you can – people like you, younger virgins of females that have been through foster care and been through stuff like that, you can help them.
Absolutely.
You can help them, like, you know, like woman empowerment and stuff like that.
Right.
Because a lot of females that's young now, they don't have good mother figures. They don't have no one that to look up to. And I think you'll be like a perfect person because you understand different aspects of stories. Now you don't have to judge them and stuff like that because you understand
Absolutely. What
it is.
Absolutely.
So I just wanted to say I love you and I appreciate you.
I love you,
too. And Yvonne said she loves you, too.
Oh, I love her, too, definitely.
Okay,
now. And I heard Yvonne in the background say, write a book.
Yeah.
So, Wandra, I'm not sure, but there's subtle hints being dropped all over the place that a book might be in the making. And I'm going to tell you what, I'm blessed to have two books published. And if that's the direction you want to head towards, I can guide you.
Yes, I am. I'm in the process of making a book now. I'm almost finished, actually.
Okay, well, I can guide you to where it won't cost you anything to publish it and getting it out in circulation.
Oh, God, it's
okay.
All the time. Yes.
Only all the time. Hey, Makia, thank you so much for calling in. I'm going to try to get you back on air if we can before the end of the show so you can bid a fond farewell to Wandra on air tonight, okay?
I want to say a few more things. It's very important.
Oh, yeah, you are. Just real quick, I want to try to get each of the panelists in, and we have two more unknowns, and then two of my co-hosts, and then another one of our panelists is actually a co-host who's calling in to support you tonight as well. And then when we're done that, I definitely want you to take it back. I just want to get through the panel the first time, if you don't mind, Wandra.
No, not at all.
Okay. Thank you so much. I truly appreciate your grace on that. Thank you. Area code 914. You are going to be next. I'm bringing in, again, area code 914. I'm giving you an opportunity. If your mic is muted on your end, please unmute it, or I should say I'm using a mic. If your phone is muted or whatever device you're talking on. Okay, Area 91, firing up your mic. You are on with Wandra. Hello. May I have your first name and where you're located?
My name is Bernita, and I'm located in New York.
Well, another New Yorker. New York is strong in the house tonight.
I am one of Wandra's biggest cheerleaders. My job is to encourage her and edge her on because she is powerful and God is using her mightily in helping a lot of other women overcome their fear of expressing the abuse that they've been through. I'm proud of her. She just graduated from college, and I was excited about that, and I'm waiting for the book to come out. We talk frequently, we pray together, and she knows that she has not just my support, but she has the support of my whole family. You know we love
Absolutely.
You, right, Wandra?
Yes, thank you.
Yes. I would not let tonight go by without hearing the story. I've read some parts of it, but I applaud you for being strong enough and being and actually writing some things down so that you could share them in order the way you did. So I know when you were reading, and I know when you were just speaking from your heart.
Right.
You're awesome. You're awesome, Wanda.
Thank you. Thank
All right.
you so
and
much.
She, and,
yep.
and you're, this grandmother is bad. She's raising her grandchildren, and she's not just raising them to go to school, but she spends time with them, and she teaches them the Word of God as well. And I think that's beautiful.
Wow.
I think
Thank
it's
you.
Beautiful.
Thank
Wandra,
you.
I just have to tell you, I've done many of these shows, and I have this is the first of 2 years of shows that I've seen this much support come in for one of our special guests. So I'm going to tell you,
that's
Ben,
right.
We have an special guest. We have an extra special guest in you tonight, and I am definitely looking forward to connecting you. I'm actually, I don't know if you can feel it, but I'm only an hour and a half away from you, due east, right inside the state line of Pennsylvania on Route 80. But I'm throwing my arms an hour and a half out to you and sending a brotherly hug to you out there in New York where you are right now. You're welcome. And then when I see the overflowing of love and support that you're getting, I am going to be going to our next caller, who is area code 347. And your first three numbers are 654. We've already had 248. That was Makia. We have area code 347. 654. You are getting ready to come on air, and I'm getting ready to cue your mic up now. Hello, you are on with Wandra. May I have your first name? And I'm guessing you're from New York as well?
Yes, I am. My name is Michelle. Hi, Wandra.
Hey.
How you doing?
Yes,
you are an amazing woman. And, you know, with Wandra, I met Wandra years ago, and I met her at church. And we wind up having a connection with one another. And I noticed that Wandra did not get bitter. She got better. And she learned the word of God. And she even all the things that she went through, that she didn't let it harden her heart. And she let the love of God come into her heart that she could love other people. And when I needed her most, and it was like God had dispatched an angel, I had surgery. And one day, Wandra just showed up at the hospital and was there to help me to be escorted home. I didn't know who was coming, but somehow or another, God sent Wandra. Wandra has a loving heart. Wandra has a gifting on her. And God is going to use you mightily, sister, to help other young men, young women, as you are already doing. You do it with your grandchildren. You've done it with your foster kids. Continue on the same road that you're continuing on, and I will continue to always encourage you. Be blessed, sister.
Thank you so much.
Wow, Wanda, how about that? And I heard Michelle say something that I wanted to clarify so that did I hear Michelle say, and Wanda, are you also a foster parent right now? Or have been?
I had nine. I took care of nine foster children, but once I had my grandchildren, I had to tend to them. So I let the job go. But I wound up going into college, so I could wind up becoming a child psychologist. I just graduated from my degree for a child psychologist. So I'm in the process.
I was going to bring that up as well. Folks who are listening to this right now live, and Wandra, just so you're aware, I did mention it earlier in the show, we do, this show is archived, and people can listen in the future. But what I really want to grasp right now at this moment is, if you're listening now or in the future, and you missed any of this, some of this needs to go back, because we have had nuggets thrown out all over the place. And the thing I want to grab the most is listen to what Wandra had experienced throughout her childhood and look at what she has done with it in her adult life. She hasn't allowed it to become an excuse to permeate the same behavior she experienced on other people.
That's
to
right.
Utilize it instead to stop it from affecting other people. Wandra, you're an amazing woman. I do have two of our regular panelists have called in. And they don't know who you are in person, but I'll tell you what, I know they know a lot about you right now if they're listening to all your story and the love and support you were given. So we're going to go to Penelope. She's from Washington State, and she's a wonderful person. And Penelope, you are on with Wandra.
Thank you, Charlie. And Wandra, I live in Bellevue, Washington, and I can tell you all those thousands of miles away, the sun is shining very brightly for you over here.
Thank you.
I am never at a loss for words, and I am right now, because I don't think that there's a word in the dictionary to describe your light. I am humbled to be on this show to hear your voice and your truth. And you are so inspiring.
Thank you.
I don't have a question for you because I really am anxious to hear the rest of your story. But I also want to say, actually, I'm sorry. I'm Charlie's co-host tonight. It's my first time co-hosting. And I am not helping him at all. And to his point, I've been a panelist for quite a while. I have never seen such support. I'm not surprised that you have the support that you have because of who you are. But he's got
a big job
right now. He's doing the job of the host, the co-host, and I'm not serving you very well either. So it's my first show. But, boy, I feel fortunate that this is the first time co-hosting. And I wish you the best, and I will get off the line now so that your other panelists,
Thank you so much.
Time to tell your story. But bless you.
And Penelope, please don't beat yourself up for what you think is you're not able to do tonight. That's not an issue for me. We can handle it. We'll work this out together. And you and I will have a conversation during the week, and I'll give you some insights into the things you weren't aware of. But you're doing fine, and I just appreciate the fact that you're actually here and supportive. So thank you so much for you and what you're doing. And don't worry about the co-host thing. It'll come. Eventually it'll be like riding a bicycle. All right?
So thank you.
All right.
Okay, bye.
Now we're going to go to one more, Wandra, and then we're back to you sharing some more of what you want to share with our audience.
Oh, good.
We have Bailey. Bailey is another one of our hosts. Matter of fact, Bailey and I work on Monday night show together where she hosts and I co-host. And occasionally when one or the other of us can't host, we alternate. But let's get Bailey live on air with you. Bailey, you are on with Wandra. Good evening.
Good evening. I am speechless, and that's not usual for me. Penelope basically said a lot of what I was going to say. I was not going to call in. I see there's a lot of panelists, a lot of people here to support you, and I don't want to take a lot of the time. But I have to say I'm so speechless about how the trauma that you have been through and how far you've come and what you're doing with your life. There's so many people that are stuck and they don't get to this point. So keep it up. Keep going. Keep being strong. You have a NASCA family. I see you have your own family here. I've never seen such a big panelist before. And thank you for being on the show, and thank you for joining our NASCA family.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, Bailey. Well, Wandra, this is a moment you've been waiting for quite a while now because we had a lot of panelists introduced. I'm going to give you the mic and allow you to go forward from where you want to go, but I do see that you got your degree from Touro College in child psychology. So go at it.
Yes.
And God bless you.
Sometimes in life I had to find a reason to encourage myself. When I felt there was no encouragement, I know that there was a God out here that could, because of His grace and because of His mercy, He has created a purpose inside my life for keeping me alive. It was God that was caring for me at this time. In spite of what I have endured, this did not stop me from becoming successful in society. In spite of what I have survived, sure, I was abused. Yet I became a resilient woman, a resilient young woman. Even if I'm in my 50s, I'm still young. I recently graduated at Touro College, and I recently obtained my degree in child psychology. In the past, I have done some research, and I noticed that some traumatized children become either dysfunctional or developmental disorders. As for myself, suffered from my anxiety, depression, anger, etc. However, with the counseling that I have had, I was able to overcome it. To me, it is what you do here on earth that counts. The outcome of my child abuse has caused me to want to work towards helping other children and pursue my career and the goal of child psychology, and hopefully help some other child that has suffered a child abuse experience. I'm in the process of going higher and taking this further to a higher degree. one of my goals is to plan to become, right now at this point, is to plan to become a case planner, like to help other children, because they, when they go into the system, they're very scared, and they need someone that loves children, and that's gonna be, that knows that, to how to work with the children. These are the children of the future, and they really need, because of what's going on around in the world, but they really need support, and I want to try to make a difference out of their life. The child abuse has helped me to encourage other children to become strong and provide counseling and encourage them.
Wandra.
Yeah.
Go ahead. No, I don't want to stop your flow. You shared some things in this segment so far that fall in line with some things I've done, and I was going to share that with you, but please, this is your night. I'm sitting here our two other panelists who are usual panelists who had their speechless. They know, my nickname out here in the world is Chatty Charlie, and I'm kind of speechless myself tonight, especially knowing what the power of God in your life. But go ahead, please. Wow.
Absolutely. I realize that children need to be loved and they need to be healed emotionally. They need to know that in spite of what they have been through, they can still survive. Further, I encourage abused children by my testimony, by my own experience of being abused. Also, I remain transparent I will remain transparent at the same time and encourage other people. Finally, I would want to encourage the abused children that, yes, there is light at the end of the tunnel. That's my ending of my story.
I you know what I'm going to tell you? I don't think that's the ending of your story. I think that's the ending of the beginning of your new story. Amazing. Powerful. What's that?
Charlie, I need you to stay in contact with me.
Oh, we're going to stay in contact, sister. You're stuck with me now. I'm your older brother, so I'm going to, you know, I got to look out for you. So that's the end of your story, but it's not the end of our show. We still have about a little under 20 minutes. I want to take a moment and share some time with you where there's areas in our stories that correlate. And the biggest thing that jumps out right now is, and I've heard, and I just have to, for sakes of NASCA and listeners, NASCA itself does not support any one spiritual belief system over another, or the fact that people are not spiritual. But tonight, folks, through the audience, through the interactions with Wandra, and in my own life story, God is the power that helped bring us to where we are tonight in our stories. And Wandra, you talk about writing. I'm definitely going to, I've got your number here. I'm going to be getting in contact with you. But way back when I was still living in Philadelphia, I was doing some mission work on the ministry work on the street. And a kid asked me one day, well, if God loves me so much, how come he let me be abused? You know, and I'm sure you asked yourself that question from time to time, right?
Absolutely.
Okay. And I did too. And you know what I was ready to do, Wandra? I was ready to give him the same answers I had been given, which weren't really answers that answered my question. Matter of fact, it gave me more questions. So I went home and I prayed and I asked for some sort of guidance. And through that came what I'm going to share with you now, if I may.
Sure.
Okay. This piece was, I normally don't write down what I speak on because I just like speaking from the heart and letting whatever God or the Holy Spirit puts in there out. But this piece I knew I had to write down. So it's titled, and it's very short, it's not long at all, Where is God and His Love When a Child is Being Abused? We child abuse survivors and witnesses get angry with God because we see Him as the only one able to stop the abuse. But really, it was the people in our lives who let us down, not God. I believe that God grieves mightily, with tears streaming down his face as he sees us being harmed. I also believe that he became angry with adults in our lives who ignored his instructions from the Bible to protect and love the children.
Right.
I don't believe that it's God's responsibility, and I'm glad this is aligning with you because we're definitely going to keep in touch. I don't believe that it is God's responsibility to protect our children. It is our responsibility to protect the children he puts in our care. I protect
Absolutely.
My child because, right? I protect my child because I love her. I was not protected because I was not loved by some of those whose care I was placed in. That's
right.
A choice made by man, not God, right?
Exactly.
God, right? God's desire is that we all would love each other with his love. He offers us this opportunity in many ways, including children, because God continues to have hope that his love will prevail in our lives.
Absolutely.
And I'm almost, are you identifying with any of this? All right, and I was blessed to have this piece. This piece was published in the first book that some of my writings went into. So it says, despite all that I witnessed and survived, God has made me strong and gave me the gift of disassociation to enable me to survive the abuse. God was the one who helped me. My parents and the foster mother who took my brother's life didn't. God was present in the foster homes, counselors, and other people who took me under their wings during their childhood and gave me his love through them. God has also taken something as horrible as our abuse, and this is you too, Wandra, and brought
right.
lots of good and beauty out of it. I want to repeat that because what I heard about you tonight, both through your story, but more importantly, not that your story isn't important, but the support and the backing of your story from the amount of people that have called in, it just lends truth to your testimony. But if God is also taking something as horrible as our abuse and brought lots of good and beauty out of it, because, and I'm going to edit this to you and I, because we survived it, we know that others can survive it too. Because we're healing,
Absolutely.
We know others can heal. And we encourage them as they heal as well. So, and I'm going to, the last paragraph, and I want to throw it back to you, and let's get on with our panel. So the last paragraph is this. No, none of us would ever choose to experience abuse or for anyone else to experience it. And that is why, and again, I'm going to edit this for me and you, because that's why we take our responsibility seriously in helping any child abuse survivor that we can. We are active
yes.
in helping change society to protect children. In addition, now I'm not going to put you in this because I don't know if you're at that level yet or you're at that point, and you may never be at this point, and it's absolutely fine for me. In addition, God gave me the vision to seek the abusers and offer them free help to stop their abusive ways, because I believe that's how God works, through people caring enough to make a difference and show his love through their actions, not their words. So, powerful show tonight. Wow, I had no idea this was going to be coming this way.
That's nobody but God that's working. And by the way,
I found
my mother that I've been looking for all my life. I've been looking for my mother, and I finally found her. And in spite that she does not like me, I still love her unconditionally. She completely cut me up. As soon as I found her, she's told me all the things she wished I had. She had an abortion. But you know what? That made me even more. At first, I was really upset because I was so emotional. Like, how could she say this? But then I thought about it, that she has problems herself. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm just going to pray for her. But I wind up at the end. But I got really upset on my birthday on New Year's Eve 2 years ago. She texted me and said, happy birthday, but don't ever call me ever again. So I changed my telephone number. So when I moved on to be more stronger, that she said that. That made me much more stronger
right.
than what I have been.
And that's her loss. You know what? You know what your story reminds me of? You may have heard of this movie, or at least I should say portions of your story that remind me of a movie that came out a while ago by the name of Antoine Fisher. Have you ever seen that movie?
Oh, yeah, I think I did. Yeah, I did. With the kid, he met his mother at the end, his family.
Right. Denzel Washington plays in it. He was in the
Navy. That was a very good movie.
Well, Wandra, I'm going to share with you and the audience, I have been blessed to have the Antoine Fisher, who the movie is about, as a personal friend. And you know, I've heard books, I've heard movies through some of our listening audience tonight who are here to support you. And I just, I do. I see you, I see God using you mightily on stages around the world, empowering people, both men and women alike, and children that are actively in the system right now. But, wow, powerful. So we have, let me take a quick look here. We have about 10 minutes left. Wandra, I want to bring each panelist back in. And panelists, I'm going to let you know, as I introduce you, I'm going to ask you to kind of give your closing remarks to Wandra for the show. We got about 10 minutes left, and I want to give her the last minute or so to share whatever's on her heart. So, Wandra, I want you to kind of bring that, whatever message you feel being brought to you. But right now, let's get Cynthia back on from Georgia. Cynthia, you're back on with Wandra.
I just want to say that I'm glad to see the progress she's made, and I believe that God is with her, and I believe that she will go further, and she will do what needs to be done in order to make things the way they should be for her.
Thank you.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Thank,
thank you
so much for being here with us this evening, Cynthia. Truly appreciate it. Wandra, next we're going to go to the our New York caller who preferred not to give her name. So we're going to be going to you next. Very good, 5-6. Hello, you're back on the air with Wandra.
Oh, hi, Wandra and the rest of the audience. I'd just like to say, God bless you. Keep on going. As your big sister, I'm going to be there for you. If I can't be there in the audience, I'll be encouraging you all the way. And, of course, praying and just believing God that the angels are going to watch over you. So keep the faith. Keep pushing. Don't let nothing hold you back. Good or evil, just keep pushing and know that God is with you.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Love you.
Love you too, sis.
Amazing. Amazing power. I don't want to mispronounce the name. I'm going to do the best I can, but we're going to bring Makia, and if I mispronounce your name, you are more than welcome to correct me when you get on air. Makia, you're back on with Wandra.
She probably fell asleep.
And that's okay.
Hello?
That's all right.
Hello?
Hello, Makia.
Hello.
Welcome back. You're on air with Wandra.
Hi, Wanda. I just wanted to say that I'm going to sleep well today. I heard your beautiful story. You're a warrior.
Thank you.
And
thank you so
much. Always keep your head up. I think Aunt Yvonne want to say something. Well, she's so shy.
I'm not shy for
Well, thank you so much.
This Yvonne.
Fine.
Wanda, you know I love you, and I'm there for you, and I'm glad you was able to tell your story.
Thank you so much. I love you, too. I love you more.
All right.
And you know, when your book comes out, it's going to be Yvonne's energy to put that out into the air. It's going to be behind getting that book successful. I already feel that.
Yeah.
So thank you so much, both Makia and Wandra, on one call. Thank you so very much. Next, I'm going to go to Michelle in New York. Michelle from New York, you are back on the air with Wandra.
Hey, Wandra, continue to press forward to the mark of your high calling, which is in Christ Jesus. And remember that all things, even when they're not good, they're working together for your good. And you have the favor of the Lord upon you, and you have victory. And so keep moving forward, okay? And I'll be there watching you do great things.
Thank you.
My sister.
You as well.
Wow. You know, I heard someone mention you. Michelle, thank you so much for calling in tonight and sharing your support and your love for Wandra with the rest of our listening audience, and same with the rest of our panelists. Penelope, I'll be right to you in a moment. But I'm hearing this tonight, and I heard another person's name mentioned earlier about Tyler Perry, and one of the most amazing men. I've never had the pleasure of meeting him as of yet, but you never know what God has in store, but I absolutely love me some Madea. So I just wanted to say over and over again many times tonight, hallelujah, because that's just amazing what I've been hearing. Let's go ahead and get Penelope back on air with you, Wandra, as we get ready to close out the show. Remember, Wandra, I am asking you to give us some closing words shortly, but Penelope, you are back on.
Wandra, I feel like a winner tonight because I have a new sister within NASCA. I really do, and I hope that within NASCA I see more of you. But I wanted to tell you I'm Greek, and so when we want to recognize someone with a supreme accomplishment, we say axios, which means worthy. So I extend my axios to you.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Powerful. Thank you so much, Penelope, and thank you for being here. And you and I will have a conversation during the week. Please don't allow anything to come against you tonight for what you see as inability to do what you were supposed to do. You are where you are at your appointed time in the position you're supposed to be in. So I appreciate it.
Well, thank you, Charlie.
You're welcome. Wandra, it's your turn. Let me take a quick look at our clock here. We got about 3 minutes. Share with us what you want.
Okay. Well, I wanted to say, well, I'm glad that I got that out. But I also wanted to say that I realize that sometimes that God has to take us through things in order for us to get to things. And no matter what, we must be strong survivors in spite of it all. I'm not telling you all this story because I'm a victim. I'm telling you all this story because I'm a survivor. I want other people to survive. I want other people to see what I see, that you can do anything through Christ who strengthens you. You have to believe. You have to have faith. Never give up. Never give in. The whole idea of life is for you to win. And that's the end of my thank you.
Wow. Hold on. I just got hit with a Holy Spirit uppercut and a left hook. That was powerful. Matter of fact, I extracted a piece of that. I actually quickly jotted it down because my daughter and I talk a lot. She's an adult now, about things that I taught her that she learned from her childhood. And she gave me these words. Dad, the main thing you taught me was I will grow through what I go through. And tonight you just helped me with that because you said this and I took your words verbatim, and you will get credit for these words when I put the quote together. God will take you through things so that you can get to things. I have not heard that before.
Yeah.
And that will definitely be credited. Your name will be placed on that in my list of quotes that I utilize. Powerful. Remember, folks, God will take you through things so that you can get to
things.
Powerful. Juan, you have been an absolute amazing guest tonight. What a powerful support system you showed us, and you have.
You.
I am so happy, so blessed. I did jot down your number. I will reach out to you over the next couple of days, and we'll have more conversations. You're only an hour and a half from me in New York City, and we'll get those things rolling. In the meantime, I do have to wrap up tonight's show, so I want to say God bless each and every one of you that is here tonight live on the panel, that are listening live out in the air. And remember, as I sign off all of my shows when I'm hosting, I remind every adult that the only human being not responsible for child abuse intervention and prevention is any human being who is never a child. And what that says is it's all of us as adults are responsible. So, Wandra, thank you again for a beautiful show. I truly appreciate it. I look forward to our
Thank you.
You're very welcome. Take care and be blessed. Stay healthy. Good night.
You as well. Thank you, everyone. Thank you.
Another tomorrow, 'cause that dawn will come.